of Ephesians. We're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. This is going to be our last sermon in connection with our officer election, which we held yesterday. So pay close attention. I'm going to read beginning at verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying, he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your promises. And may it be that as we are gathered this morning to hear your word, to hear your promises, that we may believe them and so be filled with great joy and gratitude to you and zeal for you and for your kingdom, because you have loved us first and come to us first. And so all glory and honor belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We began this series considering what are the offices of elder and deacon. And we went from there to consider what are the qualifications for those offices. What kind of men should serve as elder? What kind of men and women should serve as deacon? This morning, we are going to consider the promises that God makes about these offices. Okay, so this is a sermon about God's promises. The first promise that God makes is that he will raise up elders and deacons. Now, we know that in the Lord Jesus, God has given us incredible gifts. We know that in the Lord Jesus, through his death on the cross, through his perfect life, God has given us forgiveness of sin. Many of you are here this morning and you know that. That's why you're here. Because of this great gift of forgiveness that God has given to you. Not because of anything you've done. Not because of your great effort not because of your lives as Christians, but because of Christ. A free gift. In Christ, we receive the gift of eternal life, to know that everyone who believes in Christ, even if they die, they will still live. That their soul goes to be with God and enjoy perfect happiness, the removal of all sin and suffering, and that one day that perfect happiness will be made even more perfect when our bodies are raised from the dead. In Christ, we receive this wonderful gift in this life, that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. We receive God, and God the Spirit comes to make his home in us, so that each Christian, and together as a church, we are called temples of God, because God lives in us. Think about how wonderful that is. By faith in Jesus, we receive adoption into his family. Some of us come from families we love, from wonderful families. Some of us come from families that have been very difficult, that have been filled with pain and suffering. But whatever family you are from, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, God welcomes you into his family. These are gifts. These are gifts that God gives to us in the Lord Jesus. Well, we may not think about it in this way, but there are other gifts that God gives us in the Lord Jesus. And those include men and women. God gives men and women to the church in the Lord Jesus. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Jesus talks about this himself in Matthew chapter 23. We see how sometimes when he gives men, it is not just for the building up of the church, but for judgment. He says to the Pharisees, "Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town." Jesus promises that he will send prophets and wise men and scribes, that these men will not be like the prophets and wise men and scribes of the world, but these will be men like Christ. Cross-bearing men. In Luke 10, Jesus tells his disciples, this is a passage we talk about often, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is not just a command that we are to pray for laborers, but it is a promise that when we pray for them, He will send them. In Luke 12, as Jesus tells His disciples that they are to stay dressed for action, to be ready and waiting for their master to come home, Peter says, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" This is a promise that the Lord will set faithful stewards in his house to give his people their food at the proper time. So we are to pray. Because of these great promises, we are to pray that the Lord will raise up men to serve as elders, men and women to serve as deacons. We are encouraged to pray with these promises that God will do it. I think there's more to it than that. When we pray, and when God raises them up, we need to receive them. I am confused. I'm confused by our election yesterday. And we talk about voting and we talk about choosing men to serve as elder. I think we may, maybe a better word to use is to say receiving. We do not vote for gifts. We do not choose gifts. We receive them. We have men that God has given us who are ready to serve as elders. Why are we not ready to receive them? If you pray for something, receive it when the Lord gives it. The second promise that we want to consider is that God will not only raise up elders and deacons in his church, but he will equip them. He will make them ready for the work. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Elders and deacons are equipped by God. It's a promise. They are equipped by God to equip other people, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. This is a great encouragement to us. It's an encouragement to us. It's a promise of God for the church, that the elders and deacons will be equipped to train others, to disciple others. If you are an elder, if you are a deacon, You should do this work fully expecting that God has equipped you for it, that He will prosper you in this work. When I look at our elders and deacons, I see people who are equipped. I see people who are clearly gifted at training and discipling other people. And when I look at our congregation, I see people who are ready to be trained, who are ready to be equipped. I worry that our strategy as a church for new elders and deacons is to wait for some mature Christian in another church who's been discipled and equipped by other people to come to Reformed Convictions and then just show up here one day ready to go. Honestly, if I know a Christian, and I do, a mature Christian who comes to Reformed Convictions in another church, I want them to stay there. I want them to make disciples where they are. I don't want to be the only Reformed church in town. So knowing this promise of God, there's a question for each of us, but especially for us, those of us who are officers in the church. Who are you training? Who are you discipling? I heard a man say one time that in comfortable churches, we expect the cream to rise to the top, but God takes stones and polishes them. You must dig them out of the ground. You must put a lot of work into them to polish them. A lot of friction. Iron sharpens iron. This is a promise that comes from the mouth of God. But you know, I'm telling you, you don't just have to look in the Bible to see that it's true. You can look around you and see that it is true. God equips elders and deacons to equip others. And this ministry will be effective. It is a promise of God that this ministry will be effective. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this." And if you've been an elder or a deacon long, I mean, Paul's talking about ministry. He's talking about the work of ministry. And if you've been an elder or a deacon for very long, you can get tired of hearing people tell you to persist in your ministry. It's exhausting sometimes. It's discouraging. But Paul doesn't just say, persist in these things. He says, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is a promise. of God. That those who labor in these offices will be effective. This work is not without its frustrations. Believe me, I know. Sometimes we do not see our effectiveness. Sometimes we see it from afar. Sometimes we pour ourselves into people and then they leave and go somewhere else and we don't get to enjoy all the work that we did. We should expect that. Jesus says in John 4:38, "For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." This is very much a part of the work of the church. We often pour ourselves into people, and right when they're ready to go, right when they are, you know, coming over the crest of the hill, right when they are beginning to get it and to become mature, they leave. I mean, we've seen this just recently. But there's a promise that this will be effective. This promise is not rooted in us. It's rooted in the power of God. In the power of the resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that wonderful chapter about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, and his summary of all of his teaching about the resurrection is, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And we also see in Scripture that elders and deacons are equipped by the Lord to bear witness, to speak for the faith. We may think of this more in terms of the office of elder, right? Because elders do all this teaching. It's very much part of the office of deacon. Go to Acts chapter 6 and you see Stephen. What is he most known for but bearing witness? Filled with the Holy Spirit, able to give such a testimony about the Lord Jesus that no one could refute him. And oftentimes this testimony of the elders and of the deacons involves suffering for the faith. And you know that it's that same word where we get the word martyr that means to bear witness. It's something that we do with our words, but inevitably it will involve suffering. And that suffering so often speaks much louder than our words. I think this is often what holds people back from going into office, is that they know this. They know that being in office requires this, suffering for the cross. And you know, nobody can do this in their own strength. Stephen was able to suffer for the cross because the Holy Spirit had filled him and equipped him for exactly that trial that he went through. And Jesus says in Matthew 23, when he says that he's going to send scribes and wise men and prophets, what we learn from that is that it is him who does it. He is the one. He is the one who makes men and women ready to bear witness with their lives. To be men and women who bear the cross. Well, God also promises that he will equip elders and deacons to deal with problems in the church. Paul's letters to Timothy, you almost have to laugh sometimes when you're reading them. You know, Paul begins 2 Timothy, "Oh, Timothy, I remember your tears. I remember how you wept." And then what does he do? He goes on to like give him these, you know, just super encouraging words. "Understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And not very encouraging. "Among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth." So bad times will come, and this will come on the church. Paul says in Acts 20, he warns the Ephesian elders that twisted men will arise among the elders, that wolves will come in among the flock, not sparing the sheep. But Paul goes on, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings." And when he says you followed them, he doesn't mean like, you know, you kept track of them on Twitter. That's not what he means. He means I went into these and you followed me into them. "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." There will be problems in the church. There will be desperate times. And if you are an officer, you can expect to follow Paul into this kind of suffering. Evil men will go from bad to worse. But listen to how Paul concludes all of this. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Paul is telling Timothy here, yes, there are going to be terrible problems in the church. But, he says, you are equipped. You are equipped to face these problems. God has given you his word. And his word is breathed out by God. It is profitable for every work that you must do. It is profitable so that the man of God may be perfect, lacking nothing. God's word will not fail you. In Acts 20, when Paul says that wolves are going to come into the church, he says, but I commend you to the grace of God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And that should lead us to the next promise of God, which is that God will not abandon his deacons and his elders. This is a great promise for you. Hebrews chapter 13. It's interesting, Hebrews chapter 13, he addresses this to the, you know, to the whole church, we can imagine, right? Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money. You can hear the echoes of those qualifications for elder and deacon that we talked about yesterday and last Sunday. Integrity, hospitality, fidelity, purity, generosity. But what is it that brings all these together, that gives us a reason to maintain integrity, that gives you a reason, now especially you elders and deacons, gives you a reason to be generous, not to let your life get wrapped up with money, to stick to your marriage? What is the reason? For he has said, I will never leave you. Nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He will never leave us. And if you are in office, that's a great encouragement to you, a great promise to you, not to grow weary. And if you're elected to office, it's a great encouragement to you as you consider that. Not only will he never abandon us, but he will remain the same. He goes on and says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Rest in his faithfulness. He will not change. We can see that he will not change because of the elders and deacons we've seen who have gone before us, who have remained faithful. I remember in 2017, R.C. Sproul died. And when I saw the news, I promise, my first reaction was,
yes! He did it! He didn't commit adultery. He didn't, steal money from his church. He was a godly man and a godly teacher until he died. My good friend Daniel Howe, I'm sure I've told you this before, he told me, he said, I've got a new career goal. I want to be an old RP pastor. What a great thing. We can look back on the pastors and elders we have known who have been faithful. Some of them came up yesterday. Peter Howe, John O'Brien. We can think about the deacons who served long and hard and faithfully. Andy Curran. We can think about the elders who are still serving after many years. John and Kevin. These are signs to us that the Lord Jesus is the same. Do you see this? You know, when he says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of life, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Do you see that as something worth imitating, something to aspire to? Do you see it as something to aspire to one day be an old deacon in the church? An old elder in the church? That's a good career goal. Ultimately, it's the faithfulness of God that we hang our hopes on. He's the one who will be with us. He's the one who will never leave us. He's the one who is always the same. Now, if you are called to serve as an elder or a deacon, you will not get very far if you don't hang your hopes on him. That Jesus does not change. No doubt it will involve suffering, being in office. And that's because, unlike Jesus, we do change. Our world changes. Our parents change. Our children change. Our friends change. Our church changes. Our town changes. And that change will bring hardship, sorrow, loss. But Jesus does not change. We have Paul's own example at the end of his ministry, you know, again in 2 Timothy. He describes all of the terrible change that happened in his life. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Tychicus I sent to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak that I left at Carpus, at Troas. Also, the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me. but all deserted me. May not be charged against them. He was accused. He was abandoned by his fair weather friends. Many of his good friends were prevented from coming to him. But, he says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You too, if you are a Christian, and especially if you are a deacon, and especially if you are an elder, you too will face painful, lonely suffering. And those people on earth whose faces you know and love, some of them will abandon you. Some of them will still love you, but will be kept away. That happens. But God promises that he will be with you. Finally, there's one more promise here, and that is that God will reward his elders and his deacons. This is a great promise. God will reward his elders and his deacons. In Luke 12, Jesus says, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." There is a great reward for faithfulness in office. A great reward that the world cannot offer you and the world cannot take away from you. When your master comes, he will reward you. He will give a good reward to those who serve by faith, and he will give a just reward to those who fail. But if that servant says to himself, "My master is delayed in coming," and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come in a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. I think that's actually an encouragement. That's meant to be an encouragement to you. Because there are times when you will see people in the church who fail, willingly, eagerly fail and abuse the church. And it's a great encouragement to you to know that you may be faithful to him through that, in the face of that, and know that your master is going to come back. Your master is going to set everything straight. He will reward the people that need to be rewarded. He will judge the people that need to be judged. The confusion will be sorted out. The lies will be exposed. That's an encouragement to you as you labor in the church. In 1 Timothy, Paul makes the same point in chapter 5. He says, "The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. And you know, that's, I think that's one of the most difficult things about being an elder and being a deacon, is that you try to help people and they lie to you. You try to help people, you try to serve people, or you trust people, and they stab you in the back. And over time, you can begin, if you don't have a firm faith in the Lord Jesus, you can begin to be hard towards people, not to trust anybody. But we have here this promise that the Lord will sort these things out. The sins of some people are conspicuous, and we all know that. The sins of others appear later. And we also know this next verse. So also, good works are conspicuous. And there are. When I look at this church, I see many conspicuous good works. But each of us knows as well what it is like to serve and be inconspicuous, to serve and not be seen, to serve and not be recognized. And that's discouraging. Isn't it discouraging? We want to be recognized for our work. We want to be known. We want to be honored. And you know, that's not wrong. He says, even those good works that are not conspicuous cannot remain hidden. They will come out. They will be rewarded. I want that to be an encouragement for you. Some of you are serving in ways that the church is not aware of, but you are still serving. Don't worry about it. Jesus is very good at honoring people. He's much better than I am. He's much better than anyone else is. These unsung, untold good works will be brought out into the light. They will be praised. The things which are said in secret will be announced from the rooftops. I want to point out that there are special promises here for the deacons. In 1 Timothy 3, Paul says, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." And let's think about this for just a second. What is Paul saying? He's saying that those who serve well as deacons will have great confidence in the faith. What does that mean? Well, to serve well as a deacon means that you must be doing it by faith. You must be holding on to the mystery of the faith. You must be holding on to the Lord Jesus in your work. And he says that the deacons who do that will get great confidence in the faith. You know, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus as you do your work in his kingdom, he will show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that your trust is not misplaced. And as you labor with people, as deacons, as you labor with the poor, as you labor in this building, as you labor with this church, as you do that by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus and following in his footsteps, he will show you that your faith is not misplaced, and you will gain great confidence. You may start out in office uncertain. You may start out in office hesitant. You may start out in office discouraged. But as you follow Jesus, serving as a deacon, he will give you great confidence. And you will begin to do wilder and wilder acts of service that no one would ever do unless they had great confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also says that deacons who serve well gain a good standing for themselves. We almost wonder, what does that mean, good standing? I think the word here means something like, you will get a good rank. You will get great honor. You know, read through the Bible and notice who the servants are. Who are some of the people who serve in the Bible? Joseph, Daniel, David. There are many, many people in the Bible who serve. And I think if you read through the Bible and came to the conclusion that God loves servants, God has high regard for servants, I think you would have learned one of the most important lessons of the Bible. People who worship false gods, they usually make an image of the god that they are worshiping. I just saw, I don't even know if this is like fake news or not, but someone sent me an article about how there's like a new statue on a courthouse in New York that's like an image of like a pro-choice woman or something like that. It's kind of a, it was like, if it's true, then like we can't have satire news anymore because that, it's just too bizarre. People worship the image of their gods. What image does God take when he comes to earth? He takes the form of a servant. When God appeared, he took the form of a servant. I'm not sure if there's higher rank in heaven than servant. It is a great honor to take the form of a servant. And there is a promise of a crown. Peter says that when the chief shepherd appears, he will give a crown to his shepherds. And Paul says he will give a crown to all who have loved his appearing. So we need to remember that this morning. These promises of God that he's given for elders and deacons and for the church. He will raise up men and women to serve as deacon. He will raise up men to serve as elder. He will equip them. He will reward them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises, which are very sweet to us, which sustain us. And we pray that we would be able to see clearly your faithfulness, that we would be able to see clearly these promises, the ways that you were already fulfilling them around us and in us, that we may go on receiving your good gifts by faith. That's how we began as Christians. When you gave us your love, when you gave us your Son, when you gave us your Spirit, Lord, may we continue in this church to be those who receive and who are built up by the word of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I've gone a little long, so I think we'll just move on and move straight to the Lord's Supper this morning.